Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and we are continuing in Mishnah Yomi for Yud Gimel Tishrei, just 2 days before the holiday of Sukkot, and we actually have, I think, about 2 days left of Megillah until we get into Moed Katan, and Moed Katan, interestingly, will be about Chol HaMoed, and we'll be learning that on Chol HaMoed Sukkot this year. And right now we are in Megillah, chapter 4, Mishnah Vav, Mishnah number 6, Katan Kori Batura Umetargim. A minor, less than age of bar mitzvah, can read in the Sefer Torah and also can translate into the Aramaic, so people understand, as we mentioned yesterday. Aval eino puris ol shema, but he does not lead the congregation in the Kriyas Shema and the blessings before and after. The eino over lifnei ateva, and he doesn't go in front of the ark. That was the traditional place for the prayer leader, the chazan or shliach tzibor, the one who's saying the prayers, the Amidah prayer on behalf of everyone else, and he doesn't do that. Now, the reason is because a katan can do the mitzvot, he can pray, and we should encourage our katanim to pray and learn and read, of course, but the one who's reading the Shema on behalf of everyone else, or reciting the Amidah, that the prayers on behalf of other people, they are discharging other people from their obligations. They also have to be required on a biblical level to do so in order to do it for someone else. The Mishnah adds, finally, Ve'enu noseit kapav. If he's a Kohen, he should not lift up his hands. Now, this refers to when he's the only Kohen there. If there are other adult Kohanim present, then of course the Katanim should go up with their fathers, their uncles, whatever it is. The children should go with the adults, if you have adult Kohanim present also, to recite the blessing on the congregation. Now the Mishnah moves on to the next category of people who might have a deficiency in their prayer leadership. Poheach. This is someone whose clothes are torn. You can see his arms. It's not so appropriate to be praying like this. But he still could pray like this, but Poris et Shema Metargim, he can lead the Shema, and he could translate the Torah reading. Aval eino kori b'Torah, he shouldn't go up in front of everybody and read from the Torah scroll. It's kind of embarrassing and unseemly. V'eino over lifnei ateva, v'eino noset kapov, and he shouldn't go in front of the congregation to lead the prayers, the Amidah, and he shouldn't, if he's a Kohen, go up and recite Birkat Kohanim. He doesn't want to be in front of everybody. It's not appropriate for him to be in front of the congregation with torn clothing. Finally, the third category, Suma, someone who's blind, Puris et Shema Umetargim. He can lead the Shema and the blessings or translate the Torah. Now, he can't read from the Sefer Torah because you actually have to see the words, but the Targum, even though it's a direct translation into Aramaic of the Torah, you could technically memorize it. Famously, in the Gemara, Rav Yosef brings a lot of Targum to explain verses that they're analyzing in the Talmud. And Rav Yosef was blind, so apparently he had the entire translation of scripture memorized. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda has a qualification, Koshlo ra me'orot miyamav, someone who never saw light, meaning he was blind from birth. Perhaps he was actually a sighted person, but grew up underground in a cave his entire life, as in that Greek fable. Eino poris al shema, he can't lead the recitation of the Shema. Now, the reason for this is there's a blessing before we recite Shema of Yotzer HaMerot. We bless the one who created the light sources, referring to God who made the sun and the moon and the stars so that we can use their light to see. So if someone never saw, Yehuda says, not appropriate for them to say the blessing. Now, the sages disagree, and the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The sages explain, because even someone who can't see himself, but because there's a light source, there's sunlight, other people can help the blind person to get around and avoid dangers, so he should also make a blessing over the light, even though he doesn't see it. He enjoys it through other people helping him. It's an incredible blessing coming right after Yom Kippur, how much we rely on one another. And it's not necessarily people who are literally blind or have a disability that, of course, certainly we have to help, but somebody might be blind in a certain area of life, and to give that person advice, encouragement, might really make a tremendous difference. Mishnah 7, Mishnah Zion, adds on to this theme of impediments to public blessings. Kohen, Sheyesh B'Elav Mumin, a Kohen with a blemish on his hands. For instance, he's got six fingers, or maybe he's got other issues. Lo Yisa et Kapov, he should not go in front of the people to recite Birkat Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda adds, Of Misha Hayudov Tzvut, if his hands are dyed with Is Sotis Ufua. This isotis was a bright blue, and the fua is a bright red. Lo yisot kapav. He should not go in front of the congregation to lift his hands in blessing. Everyone's going to be staring at his, you know, brightly colored hands. As the mission concludes, mibnei she'om mistoklim bo, because people are going to be staring at him. And really, the time of Birkat Kohanim, it's a mitzvah deraita. It's a biblical commandment for the Kohanim, the priests, to recite this blessing. It's a very serious thing. The Shekhinah is present. It's like Hashem is coming down to ratify and agree to the blessing the Kohanim are giving. If people are sort of staring and it's a spectacle in the way the Kohanim appear, that really diminishes the aura and the sanctity of this event. I have seen that maybe it's a custom for the Kohanim to wear very nice socks when they go up in front of everyone without their shoes on. I think that's probably a wonderful custom. Yasha Kochachem, and be well.